UK Prime Minister Theresa May has suffered another setback in her own party, with a series of cabinet ministers resigning overnight. Secretary for Brexit negotiations Dominic Raab resigned, claiming the current deal with the EU poses a threat to the integrity of the UK. His resignation has further emboldened hardliners in the Conservative Party who are unhappy with the deal so far, which does nothing to help Ms. May gain the parliamentary support she so dearly needs. So far, the only MP who has been offered the Brexit Secretary job, Environment Minister Michael Gove, has turned down the offer after his request that he be allowed to modify the deal was rejected by Ms. May. And so while it may seem like the current Brexit plan is doomed in Parliament, Professor of Politics at the University of Sydney, Simon Tormey, says the situation is so uncertain right now, nothing can be taken for granted.
I don't think we can underestimate the sort of febrile nature of parliamentary politics in Britain at the moment. I mean, this is the worst political crisis the country has ever seen. I mean, I really cast around for examples in the 20th century and even the 19th century. There's nothing like this has happened before. We know both parties are absolutely split, and that really trying to second guess and trying to predict what's going to happen with any great certainty is really, really difficult. I mean, one of the things that Theresa May is doing is talking behind the scenes to sort of senior Labour figures in order to construct what's being called a government of national unity, or at least some sort of middle ground consensus, which she could then have some confidence of bringing the withdrawal bill into Parliament with some, you know, with an idea that it might get over the line. So there are all sorts of conversations going on in the background. There's all sorts of reasons why Labour people themselves might just reject Jeremy Corbyn's call to vote against it. Some of them are in Brexit constituencies. Some of them are in favour of the kind of thing that Theresa May has put forward. The lines of loyalty and obligation are beginning to weaken. It's an extremely fractious, precarious moment in British politics. And I think it would be incredibly unwise for anyone to say this is going to happen yes or no by the middle or end of next week. It's very difficult to second guess what's happening in the next quarter of an hour, never mind about what might happen when the bill is finally introduced to the House of Commons.
Okay. Sort of on that note about the instability in the Parliament at the moment, of course, much like what happens here, there have been questions about leadership challenges potentially coming down the line. What do you think about the likelihood of that?
Well, what's going on at the moment is that, so they need 48 names of people who have put forward letters to what's called the 1922 Committee arguing for a vote of no confidence. So, but of course, 48 names is not enough actually to unseat a prime minister. So they actually have to have over 100. So what's going on behind the scenes is not only trying to galvanise that kind of core group of very hard Brexiteers behind putting in a letter to the chairman of the 22, but also just trying to gauge what the mood is out there in the party. And that's a difficult thing to do, obviously, is in this kind of environment that we're talking about. I mean, I think in the end, there probably will be a vote of no confidence, maybe Monday lunchtime, something like that. But I have a hunch here that Theresa May is going to survive it. And the reason for that is that for the bulk of the Tory party, they don't actually want a hard Brexiteer in charge of the negotiations. They don't want David Davis, and they certainly don't want Boris Johnson. So I kind of have a hunch here that, and I think Theresa May knows this, that she can just keep clinging on hour by hour, day by day. She can withstand the assaults of the Jacob Rees-Moggs and the David Davises and so on, and just keep on, if you like, looking at one barrier at a time. And I think I've got a sort of suspicion that she might survive a vote of no confidence and be able to present her bill to the House of Commons. And it might be that behind the scenes that she's cobbled together some sort of all-party coalition to at least test the appetite in the House of Commons.
Interesting. Obviously, there's a whole lot of uncertainty about what, about what the potential downsides could be either way that this goes. So could that leave her with room for negotiation, as you are talking about?
It is, because, of course, the alternative on offer is probably a no deal, and that is economic catastrophe for the UK. And anyone who's got the faintest bit of insight into what that means is desperate to try and avoid that scenario. So, you know, we're only months away. It's March the 29th. If Britain has not got some sort of deal or haven't got a kind of transition to the transition organised and so on. I mean, there won't be ships, you know, sailing between Dover and Calais. There will be no planes. There will be no economic cooperation. There will be, you know, and on and on and on. And a lot of businesses will have finally, you know, thrown the key away on their factories and decided to uproot and go somewhere else. So the consequences of a no deal are so severe, and that is well understood amongst most people in the House of Commons, that they're keen to, in a sense, keep the discussion going and keep the negotiation going. On the other hand, not very many people like the look and the colour of the withdrawal agreement that's been brought back. Why? Because it does differentiate between the regime that will apply in Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. It does keep the UK in a customs union without actually any say over the terms of how that's going to work. It does look like a very long transition period running not only into the 2020s, but possibly as far as 2030. So there's not a lot to like in the withdrawal agreement itself, but there's much less to like in the prospect of a no-deal Brexit.
Professor of Politics at the University of Sydney, Simon Tormey, ending that story.